action. Our hearts are hungry for an outpouring. You know how serious and earnest we are. So Lord, when You come with these kinds of wisdom, we know that You've heard our petition. We know that You've recognized, and that, Lord, that You're doing everything You can to get us in a position. And that outpouring is not too far. It's not too far from where we're at right now. In fact, we can smell the rain. We can smell the rain coming. This rain of Your Spirit, this glory cloud, it's already visible. Father, we thank You. We thank You that the headwaters of this is already beginning to fill the streams that come down the mountain. And Lord, we're drinking from that right now. We're going to follow it all the way to its source. Bless this man tonight. Give him favor. Give him wisdom. Lord, the very river that he drank from this morning, may he once again give it out of himself, Lord, to those hearers tonight, we pray. May he duplicate that very presence by which he was filled himself. And we give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Oh, I hope we made enough for those. Like we have a few more people here tonight. I think I can truly say, truly, I don't believe that I ever had a week like this, personally. Not ever. Not just in anointing, I mean, but, you know, personally. I don't know how I stumbled on this, but I did. And I didn't come in here to really say anything new. I just came to add to what has already been built, cultivated here. But I think I can help some of you. I think I can. Well, he can do it, you know. You just have to excuse me, man. I'm just a little overwhelmed right now. But what's in your hand tonight is not a formula. It is a roadmap. It was given to me over a 3-month period. It's been highly refined this week alone. It's been responsible for ushering me into a place with the Lord every single day for the last 5 days in a row or more. But not just into the presence of the Lord, but into a place where I've exchanged completely my sufficiency for His. Where I walk out changed every day. Truly that scripture in 2 Corinthians 3:18, you move from glory to glory. In Proverbs 3, you'd go from strength, or your light would shine more and more. In Psalm 63, you would go from strength to strength. When our Father had planned it in such a way that these things would take place daily. And the position that you can find, lay hold of, every day will determine your entire destiny with God. How quick or how slow? He has a path. It requires something of you. We're finding a whole lot of the things that we struggle with. He can fight these battles on our behalf if we can find out what He needs. So many times we even try to approach the Lord. We're doing the things we're supposed to do. But He wants to refine that and help you. Some of you have already conquered many of these phases that are in here, and you can walk right in. Some of you have a very difficult time walking in. You pray. You fellowship. You do the things that you've been taught to do, but you haven't come to the place where you could exchange you for Him. Where literally the position of mortification can take place daily, right there on the spot. That your life would die right there daily, and you could assume the position of Christ in you, the hope of glory, and that you would find yourself being hidden with Him. All that can take place in an hour. Under the most extreme circumstances you'd ever find yourself in. This is the only way Jesus could have been sleeping in the boat, because He lived in another kingdom. I'll say it this, you could step out of the kingdom of this world into His kingdom. And no matter what's standing there between you, there's a pathway to come out of this world and into His. And when you step into His kingdom, all that's available in that kingdom is immediately ushered to you. And it's getting out of this kingdom is the hardest thing you'll ever do. Because once you're in His kingdom, there's no struggle. You're covered. You're washed. You're made whole. And He will complete you daily from glory to glory. So, we've been talking about this the last couple of nights, and most of this we've taught, but one of the things I just want to review a minute is every day we hit on this very strong last night. I pray you were here. If not, I'd ask you to get the tape, because I can't spend the time that I need on this to review. But we spent a lot of time Sunday morning and Monday night talking about these first couple of steps. So one of the very first things that we must know, that from the time you wake up, positioning yourself in the kingdom of God is much about your attitude and your heart as anything else. It's not what you do, it's where you go. You can spend a whole lot of time seeking and praying and fasting, but never find that position. And God wants us to find the position that all of that's leading up to. And so I pray that this helps you. But remember, when I go through this, it's not ever a formula. Not ever. It's just a roadmap. Every morning you wake up, there's a destiny sitting in front of you. There's two kingdoms. There's the kingdom of light and the kingdom of darkness. There's the harlot's house and wisdom's house. Jesus Himself took the position, if you see even on that front page. He said, I can do nothing of myself. He said it three times in the New Testament. I can do nothing. The Son of God said it Himself. He knew His dependency. One of the things we must know when we are laying hold and apprehend these higher levels of God, 80, 90, 100-fold levels, it requires absolute dependency. It requires the sufficiency that is exchanged for His. It requires that we must come to that place. I can do nothing. But of course you can. And you have been. We have been for a long time. We can take the wings of the morning and go out about our day. We can make a living. Make a ministry. Make a business. We've done it. But have we come to the place where we've traded our sufficiency for His? What we're missing is we don't know what's behind His sufficiency. So we only live in the familiar of taking the wings of a morning. We don't know what's behind that curtain and what you would have become had you got behind it. Because had you got behind the curtain tomorrow, you would have got behind it again. And the day after, you would have got behind it again. And the kingdom of God's behind the curtain. We're trying to administrate the kingdom of God without being positioned in it. Legally, you are positioned in it by the blood. But you've got to ascend to that place. You've got to be moved into that place. It is a place where you're moved into. And you have all the power of heaven at your disposal to get you there. And the Holy Spirit, when you arise, is waiting. Wisdom's house has been fully adorned. She must need something from you, because as long as you can do it, you'll never make it. Self-sufficiency will reign. We'll go out and do it without Him. I come to a place I absolutely would dread. I'm not kidding you. One day without coming into that room. Just absolutely. And so we talked about the two houses. And you know, when I get up in the morning, I read this, I look at it, and I make a decision. You know, I said, I'm either going to go out in my sufficiency today or His, and His is in His kingdom. And yes, I belong to His kingdom, but I got to get my flesh over in there too, you know. I have to get my flesh under divine order where I can get positioned and I can step out of this kingdom. See, the thing about us is we're a very peculiar people. We belong to two kingdoms. See, our body keeps us attached to this one. The untransformed parts of our soul and our spirit completely belongs to His. But He has to keep us in a body to give us authority here. However, all of that and the demonic forces that are constantly arrayed against us try to keep us into this system. Completely hooking us every day, trying to keep us in our spirits, always wanting to be positioned in His. And every day that choice, and I'll read through that, even the Samson, Delilah, pressed Him daily. He'll come at you daily. And if he breaches that covering, the very first thing that happened with Samson, his eyes were put out. You lose your ability to see from a heavenly perspective. In the familiarity of this world, we see from that perspective. Oh, my friend, when you get positioned in that seat, how far our eyes can see. How clear everything is made to us. How awesome it truly is. Providing we sit in that seat. I'm going to talk to you about tonight, ascending to that seat of authority where all dominion is executed under heaven. Hallelujah. And we talked about this very strongly. I would to God I could just keep talking about it, but I can't. And choosing wisdom's house and being moved into her house. And last night we covered very strongly the daily surrender. Listen, my friend, Jesus said you must take up your cross daily. The cross. Once you're in the kingdom of God, there is no cross. There is no pressure exerted against you. You are free. It's like you broke the gravity zone and you're completely covered. And the administration of the things of the kingdom are constantly flowing to you. The cross is getting there. The cross is what stands in front of you and keeps you from moving in. And you've got to take that cross. And that's why he said, die daily. There is a death to the human will. There's a death to human sufficiency. There's a death to human desire. We wake up, there's certain things that I need. This morning alone, I woke up and there was a wall. Thick. Standing there. I said, God, how can it be so easy yesterday in this huge wall right here? He said, that's the cause, son. And I dug my heels in. And that process of surrender, oh, what he needs. He will come and crush the wall for you. So many times in the past, I thought I had to crush the wall. God's got a hammer that's much bigger than mine. But it was this position of surrender that he needed. And when I'd pass into that surrender, I moved into a fellowship with the Scripture. Because it was the path of promise. The Word was telling me where to go. I said, no, I'm going to go the way the Word tells me to go. I'm going to die today. I'm going to put my flesh upon the brazen altar. I'm going to put the desire of every living thing on the brazen altar. I'm going to present my body a living sacrifice. And I watched it burning. I said, it's not my will today, God. I cannot go out without your sufficiency. Where was I heading? It's that place of surrender where the Spirit takes the ascendancy and then the Holy Spirit comes with the glory. And once He breaks the curtain, it's like a curtain opens. You'll be sitting there, sometime 20, 30 minutes, sometime longer, depending on how much is raining in your life. And you're sitting in that place of surrender. And only the Holy Ghost can really show you how to do that. I don't know that a man can tell you how to do that. Other than the Word of God pointing the way and standing there. It's that position. And once it was wielded and turned over, it was like a curtain was just opened. And glory filled the room. An atmosphere of glory. You know it quite well in this church because you cultivate it constantly. Sometimes we get in, sometimes we don't. If we properly surrender, we can go in every day. Then He brought me to the altar of my need. We talked about that last night. That's one of the biggest things that keeps somebody from moving in to the glory of God. Is their need. If something is enthroned on your need and He is not fully positioned, Bronkman, I've talked a lot about this today at lunch. If He has not taken His seat of authority on your need and been enthroned on your need, what's going to happen is the enemy is going to empower your need and the emotion of it, and you're going to go out, take the wings of a morning, and whatever you serve me with, that's what you're going to give it to. And as long as that altar is right there, He can't peel the curtain back for you. There has to be a surrender. He doesn't expect you to break all those habits. He expects you to surrender and give Him the place of supreme authority. And that's when I go into the Lord as my shepherd. I shall not want. It's Jesus, You're my shepherd. And I go into Hebrews for that. And I know it's a rest from sin. You know, they're labor therefore to enter into the rest, and we've ceased from our own works, but also we've ceased from our own sufficiency. The next level of that, it wants to conquer human sufficiency. And I left off of that last night. I want you to go to Hebrews. Now, interesting there, it's on page 4, by the way. I'm already in page 4 if you haven't. There's many times I'll move into confession. If my flesh is giving me problem, I'll start speaking the word over it. Why? I'm trying to get it positioned in a seat of surrender, because that's what God is looking for. Once that surrender takes place, the Holy Spirit's going to come, my friend. He's got a big hammer and He will break all the rocks right in front of you. Do you know what that feel, how exhilarating that is? To feel the pressure of this world system and walls 3 miles thick, and you don't think you're going to get in there intimidated, and you're trying to move in there, and all of a sudden God comes with a hammer and bam, it breaks, and you just start parting. And you walk right through the Red Sea. Daily. I said, I couldn't believe it. I said, these walls, Lord, had cost me so much time. I didn't know how to get through them. I was trying to get through them on my own. What He needed was surrender. It was that position. And then He starts dealing with a need. He deals with the appetites of the flesh. He deals with the will. It's not my will today, Lord. I can go out in my own will. I give You. You see, You're giving Him every part. You're giving Him your will. You're giving Him your appetite. You're presenting your body. You're presenting your soul. You're presenting your mind. You're presenting your will. Say, God, I don't want to go out today in my own. I can do nothing. I know it. I've been around the mountain too long. If I don't move in there and make this exchange, I will forever be nothing. But if I do, I know when I walk out of there, it'll be Christ in me, the hope of glory. It won't be me any longer. I'll be hiding behind You. But I'm really headed for a much greater place. To get there, everything is bowed daily. My friend, if you don't have the revelation of daily, you got to get it. You're going to win and lose the battle daily. You can find a position in God and lose it. I'll talk to you about how we do that. In Hebrews 4:9, He said, "There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God." Page 4 of this deal. "And he that enter into his rest has also ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Let us labor therefore to enter in the rest." And I know He's speaking of coming in from the rest of sin, where we cease from our own works and the labor of it, in that position we hold with Him now, that we've been freed from sin and we no longer labor under it. But He's also talking about a rest that we enter into, where all of the sufficiency of man and all of the appetites is bowed into the rest. With the soul and the will of a man, where He can come and be enthroned upon our need,
You know, if He's not enthroned of our need, it's a lot of unrest in there. Because need must be satisfied. That's a gaping hole that every single human being on the earth has. Nobody does not have that. There is a hunger within every human being, whether they know it or not. And He must be enthroned upon that need. If He's not, the devil will set up one altar after another after another. He's got a lot of them. And if those things are reigning, need will cry out. And the Lord must have that position. Once He has that position, see, all things are naked and open and bare. I just open it up. I tell Him, God, I tell You right now, You know the altars in my heart. You know they're sitting there, and I need Your power to break them. See, I'm positioning my need. As I position my will and position my body and my soul, now I'm positioning my need. I need You to sit. I invite You. I welcome You to sit and come and break these altars down. You alone are my shepherd, and I must come to that place where I shall not want. Yes, He's going to lead you to the still waters. Before He does, He needs to have that place. And this daily surrender in the resting place of need is all about positioning. And please, my friend, understand that when you are properly positioned, the Holy Spirit's going to come. How do you know? Because He's been doing it. He'll come right in the midst of your enemies. If you don't have one of these pages, let's lift your hands. Oh, we got more coming. Just keep your hand up. Listen, it says, neither is there any creature that is manifest in His sight, but all things are naked and open to Him from the eyes we have to do. He knows it anyway. It's the position we give Him. Go ahead and pass them out so we can get going here. Hallelujah. I would venture to say that right there, we can actually go to the Lord in prayer and not have any one of those areas yielded to Him. And we can do in faithfulness what we've been trained and taught to do. We can pray. We can seek the Lord, and we can come out 1 hour, 2 hours, 3 hours. I've done it for six before, never had these things positioned. And I come out, I feel good, but I never made the exchange. Now, I know some of you that have, you know, you've laid hold of the message and you just took your will in there and grabbed a hold of it and said, I'm going to worship God. And you carried yourself and drug yourself in there long enough. Yeah, He'll put the sword to those things. And you know how to move in there. But there are others that struggle greatly. Every day, there's something standing there. And He must have that position. And I'll take the Word of God in there and I'll get it all positioned. Why? Because I'm looking for something. I want to move out of this kingdom into His. I want to move out of the harlot's house because I know if I don't, she's going to come. I know she is. I've been at it too long. Lost too much time. Don't plan on losing any more time. But wisdom has an open door. That's what she wants. The surrender, the daily cross. Need to be enthroned by the Lord. Sometime in there, sometime in 5 minutes, just boom. Once He comes, I don't labor anymore in this area, you know. Once the door is open, we're going to the next place. Sometimes it takes time to get that. There's certain things that have to be properly surrendered, but you'll know it. How will you know it? You'll feel it. That tangible curtain will lift. It's just like a curtain opens. And heaven starts moving in. The very first thing will change is the atmosphere in the room. The atmosphere around your mind, you'll be translated out of this world and straight into His kingdom. Once you're there, that's where the party begins. As you know. Once we're in that position, That's when the Holy Spirit has the full reign of our life. Our spirit is in the ascendancy. The soul and the body is under that authority. And now the Holy Spirit can lead us and direct us into the different paths He wants for us. That's when it gets good, because you don't feel the pressure of the world. Oh, I wish I could somehow describe the magnitude of this exchange and how important it is to God. As you step into that place, it's no more you anymore. One of the next things the Lord had me to do is when I found that some of the greatest men of God in the world, Smith Wigglesworth, Catherine Kuhlman, all of them had actually come into a place where they received communion every day. I met a few great men of God in the earth that's living right now. They do the same thing. I didn't really know why they did it, you know. And there was a season I did it, but I just took the bread and the cup, you know, and took communion like we do, but it was never anything grand. I didn't quite understand it. And the Lord said, I want you to come into the communion table every day. I'm going to show you a lot more than you presently understand about it. And He began to open the communion table, and I realized that it was more of a representation of everything He's made available to us. That He was actually feeding you. And one of the first things He did when He brought me to that table is of course the washing. You know, we all need that. You come into the presence of the Lord, and it's a little warm in here. Can we turn the air on a little bit? Y'all feel warm in here? Are you breathing? And so, when I would bring this in, even in the Lord's Prayer, they asked Him, teach us to pray. We want to know how You do what You do. And listen, He said, you want to pray like I do? You're going to have to learn some things about worship. But then He said, not My will. He said, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Do you remember? It was that exchange right there. And then He said, give us this day our daily bread. What is that daily bread? It's just not money, provision. I think it has a whole lot more to do with the Spirit. And He said, forgive those that have trespassed against you. And finding that forgiveness of the Lord. Every one of us have traveling stains. One of the first things I do when I move into that communion table, I begin to partake of that, and I drink of that standing. As a point of contact, I said, wash. Wash me, Lord. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity. Cleanse me from my sin. It's that cup of washing that every one of us, you remember even in the old, when they went through the brazen altar, the very first place they went after that was the laver, where they began to wash their hands and their feet. There's always a wash that needs to take place. And as He progressed down through that, I want to take you to a place that's most powerful. Go to page 6 there. Look at Romans 8. In that cup of blessing that Corinthian talked about, the blood, what it represented was a position we held. And from that point, once we were moved into wisdom's house, there was an ascension that took place. And He says, for you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. And you know the Father appointed Him heir of all things. And I said, Father, I know you appointed him heir of all things, and you've made me a joint heir. I want to know where all of that is administrated. It is that position in that cup. We stand in that position because the blood purchased it for us. Out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of Son, we have a nature that can ascend into the presence of the Father. As the Holy Spirit leads us into that position, look where He's taken us. Look at Colossians. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things that are above and not on things of the earth. Look at verse 3. For you are dead. How much plainer does it get? If I am dead, then I got to find out where I'm hidden in Christ. He said, and your life is hid with Christ in God. I'm like, where? I know it's all positionally, but I'm talking about how to find it daily. I know my life is dead. That's the first thing I have to come to. If I walk out of there, I'm just walking like a dead man. I'm no good to God. I must find that room. So your life is hid with Christ. Look at Ephesians 2. But God, who is rich in mercy for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us. Now I want you to look at the word together. With Christ, when God raised Him positionally, He raised us. But that's not all. And He raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places. You see that? That seat, my friend, is available positionally because we're born again. We do hold that position, but you can ascend to that seat every day. And the very next verse, blessed be the God of our Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, who's blessed us with all spiritual blessings. Look where He blessed us at. Look at the position where He's blessing. In heavenly places. One of the greatest deterrent from receiving from God is we're trying to stand in the middle of the road, having made entrance with the flesh dominating our life and receiving all the spiritual blessing, but we're not positioned there. Yes, legal we are, but we must ascend to it. And once we make that entrance, the Holy Spirit causes that ascension to that seat. There is a seat of authority we move into, and that's where He begins to administrate dominion in the earth. That's where all the spiritual blessing flows. That's where you receive it, and that's where the exchange is. When we're in the glory of God, when we're in that seat and we're worshiping the Lord, and all flesh has been removed, it's from that place God administrates wisdom. It's from that place He administrates inheritance. It's from that place He administrates our future and our destiny. And it's also the place where He brings total and complete satisfaction, completion, wholeness, fullness. It's finding that seat every day. One of the things the Lord so strongly dealt with me this morning, He spoke to me in that place. He said, I want to purge you and bring full redemption from the sweat of the brow. And I want to bring you into full inheritance. And in this seat is where that exchange is made. In Genesis, man was confined to the sweat of the brow. And Jesus, of course, we know that His blood was pierced. When the thorns pierced His forehead, I saw it in vision, and they platted the crown of thorns upon His head.
And I saw they pushed it down. Then the soldiers came and they began to beat those thorns. They beat that. And they said they began to beat his forehead. And I saw it pierce through the membrane. And the Spirit of the Lord said, I shed that blood. Because he was carrying the mind of Adam. And positionally, that's where the mind of Adam died, right there. The thorn and the blood was shed so he could freely give us the mind of Christ. I said, Lord, where is it? He said, as long as you're confined to this world system, then your thoughts and your mind and your systems of thought will be guided by it. But when you ascend to this seat, it's there the exchange will take place where He'll begin feeding you the mind of Christ, because the mind of Adam will die. And when I drink that blood, I said, Father, that cup, I said, that's standing, it's mine. I drink of it today. And it's a point of contact in that position we hold where He's making that transference. God, I wish I could explain that. Even greater. Now, not every time I go in here, I'll go into every one of these areas. It's wherever the Holy Spirit leads. But I want to share with you something very powerful. Go to the next page there. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19. Look at this. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. All this is taking place in communion, see? By a new and living way, which He consecrated for us through the veil of His flesh. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. You see that? He said, you can draw near to this place in full assurance of faith. Exercising faith to move into that position. And one of the first things that happens at this communion table is we know He left that standing for us. My glory I give unto you. You've been taught that. That position He held with the Father, which the Holy Spirit came and said, all that He has left you, I've received. And it's my position to reveal it unto you. That full standing of inheritance. Where is that place of exchange? He said, I want you to look at this. Verse 24 there, John 17. Father, I will that they also whom Thou hast given Me be with Me where I am, that they may behold My glory which Thou hast given Me. Now, I know that that was the place that He walked over, spiritual death. He said, I will, Father, that this place I'm holding, that they'll come on over as well and pass from death to life and stand here and behold My glory in this position. But He willed it. You don't find the Lord willing very many things. You look through the Bible, you won't find that very many times where He said, I will. Father, I will that they stand in this position with Me and I'll give My life for it. And when I'm drinking of that cup of communion, you paid the price for this position. I shall not let it go to waste. If two of you are touching anything on earth, agree. I come in agreement with that position. Jesus, You willed that I could stand and behold Your glory. Be right there with You. And I know You paid the price for it. But I need to be in that seat where it takes place. You can wake up tomorrow and not touch His glory. You can wake up for the next 90 days and not touch His glory. It's not until you ascend to that seat where that glory is poured out. Yes, we have a responsibility in the position. The Holy Spirit's there. He said He will receive a mind and show all of it to you. Where is He going to do that at? It's in that seat. apart from the times where the Lord, in just ultimate grace, pours out on us. If we don't find that position, that glory, that presence, that mirror, 2 Corinthians 3:18, from glory to glory, it will never be experienced in our life. You can probably turn that air back just a tad. Y'all getting cold now. I had you hot, now you're getting cold. Maybe warm? Hallelujah. And when I'm sitting in that communion table, I'm standing in this place. I mean, sometimes you're just being bathed in the glory of God and you're celebrating it. I thank you. I hold this position because you paid the price for it. I stand in agreement. I can sit in this seat. I can behold your glory in this place that the world has no access to. I can behold your wisdom. I can behold the inheritance, your love and your joy, your peace, all of it. All that blessing flowing into that seat. Just tears of adoration and thankfulness that He paid such a position for us. He said, as often as you do this, in remembrance of me. He said, often? Just every day I celebrate that place. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says that that mirror, as you touch that mirror, there's going to be an effect. You will move from glory to glory. If you touch that mirror, something's going to happen to you. You're not going to stay the same. I found out that you can actually go in there every day. And one of the remarkable things, you're literally changed from glory to glory. You get under that mirror and you move into that position, I promise you, you know it when you've touched the glory and you've worshipped your way in. You touch it, I mean, you walk out of there, you're not the same person. He fed you with a manna that's not of this world. He fed you with light and revelation. Your ability to see. You can see, you can discern. You're not falling in the traps. You can look at somebody and say, don't take another step. You keep going down that path, it's going to cost you 3 years. They can't see it. Why can you see it and they can't? You're being fed from a heavenly manna. Your position where all light flows. From glory to glory. Instead of stumbling all the time and running into walls, you're moving through divine acceleration. Because you're in that seat. Sometimes that communion table, it's like a point of contact. It brings everything. And it's a celebration. There's a weeping and a joy and a beholding and an experience. I just didn't know I could have it every day. I thought sometimes, well, you know, I just got to, you know, tread through here. Plow the field. No. He already did that for us. He willed it, my friends, that you would stand in that seat. In heavenly places. Or sit in that seat. That position of rest that you find. In heavenly places. Not running down the world. Road being torn between the two houses. You're not going to see His glory right there. You may want to see it. But you're not going to see it there. It's not until you're positioned in her house. In the ascension to the seat. The Holy Spirit's going to ascend you to that seat. And that's where He's going to administrate the kingdom of God to you and then through you. That's where the counsel that wisdom promised is going to flow. That's where the understanding and the life and the wine bringing gladness of heart, where your heart was heavy and burdened, He's feeding you the wine of heaven and the oil that's making your face to shine and the bread of strength. David knew this place so very well. And I come in agreement with that. When He said, I will. I said, Father, You willed it. Jesus, You willed it.
I can stand in agreement. As touches two or more, I want that seat today. See, sometimes when you're going in, you're hoping you'll get there. Sometimes you're saying, I'm going to keep worshiping. God's going to show up. I know He is. And man, He does sometimes. But sometimes when He doesn't, you don't quite know what to do, but just keep going. But you're going into promise now. You won't be denied. He said, let us go in with a true heart, a full assurance of faith. I'm going in by faith because You said it was mine. I'm going in because You granted the access and You paid a price. And when I drink of that cup, man, I don't have me a little cup. I have a big cup. I'm drinking every place. Oh, I drink of that standing. I drink of that standing. I drink of it. I drink of the wine. I drink of the river of cleansing. I drink of this standing, this seat You gave me. Without this blood, I would be nothing. I could not come to this place. You rent that veil. I thank You for it. Please don't let it go to waste in my life. I drink of it. Same time I'm drinking, my spirit's drinking. This is not a cup of grape juice. No, my friend. It's a point of contact and a positioning. I'm going in by faith. I'm laying hold by faith because He said it was ours. Glory is there, emanating. You walk out from that place, my God, you're Superman. You have an armor. Today I felt like a robe came around me in the Spirit. I said, God, this is what it is. He said, nothing in the earth penetrates that robe. And I'll clothe you every day. This is where you're adorned. This is where you're exchanged and I take over. This is where the armor of God is wrapped around you. You walk out and somebody can try to bruise your heart. Somebody try to betray you. You don't even feel it. Somebody does you wrong during the day. You don't feel it. Some kind of assignment against you just bounces off of you. But if you don't have that armor, sometimes that stuff, those arrows that keep flying. I mean, I know you're tough, but you wouldn't be around this place. You can handle arrows. But God wants us more than just handling a bunch of arrows. He wants them where they just fall off. Not just absorbing and going on and being faithful. That is good. And He appreciates that. And He knows you're a strong warrior. But to be effective, where He can trust you and send you out on the front line, He's got to know that you know how to put that armor on. Even in the presence of your enemies. It's when David said, I shall not want. Why? Because He spread the table before me. Right in the presence of my enemies. And I've learned to drink and eat from the table of wisdom right in the presence of my enemies. He can scream all he wants, but I'm going to a place he has no access to. And once I step out of the natural, his yoke is broken. I'm going to be clothed in the supernatural. I'm looking for that clothing. I'm looking for that sufficiency. Why? Because I don't want to do it on my own. So apart from him, I'm not going to get anything done. But with him, in that seat of inheritance, the mind of Christ is exchanged. That's where human sufficiency is bowed. And he can teach you how to rule and reign in a seat of dominion. That's where his favor is released to go before you, to make crooked places straight. Now King David saw this. And I had a problem with this. Look at Psalms 27 there at the bottom of page 7. One thing I have desired of the Lord. I mean, when you read the Psalms, you've got to be kidding me. I'm thinking, how can a spiritually dead man talk like this? Man, he understood this place in God. He knew how to duck in. He knew how to find under the shadow of thy wings. Lovely are your dwelling places. The sparrow has found a house and the swallow. Blessed am I standing in your house. I'll get to that in a minute.
one thing I desire to the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. And listen to this, to behold the beauty of the Lord. Look at Psalm 17. Keep me as the apple of thy mind. Hide me under the shadow of the wings. Why is this important? I'll tell you in a minute. As for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness, and I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. I'm thinking, how does he do that? He's spiritually dead. 2 Corinthians 3:18. Talked about the administration of condemnation and the administration of life, of the Spirit. Administration of death, administration of life. Well, as we know, that man of Romans 7, when he would come before God's glory, whether it was the law or His glory, when he would come before it, the first thing he would do, that glory would reflect its image, its perfect image, same image it's reflecting today. Except he came before him with a spiritually dead man. As soon as it did, what do you think that glory was going to shine? Right onto the canvas of his spiritually dead nature. What was it going to produce? Galatians 3, 4, Romans 7. The closer I got to God, the more of my nature was revealed. Locked me into a place of dominion as a schoolmaster to show me I could never get out of this place. The more I got closer to God, the more my sin was revealed. That was the dominion a spiritually dead man had to suffer all of his lifetime. When he would come before the law or come before God's glory, all he would do is reveal his sin. The closer they got, the more of their sin was revealed. And all it could do is produce condemnation until one could come and free them. And yet David could walk right into the presence of God and said, one thing I desire, Lord. I can just sit in your house all the days of my life. I'm going to come into your presence. I'm going to behold your face in righteousness. And when I do, it's not going to reflect my sin. I'm going to awaken your likeness. Because as you are, so am I in this earth. I'm like, Old Testament saints don't talk like that. We do. Well, we know the canvas of our spirit's been lit. It's awesome. We can bring our spirit before that mirror and when it reflects its glory, it said, oh my God, I'm born of you. As you are, so am I. I'm moving from glory to glory to transference of anointing. But the dead man, his spirit was revealed. Found out that the imputation of sin was not imputed against him. He was classified there in Romans chapter 4 with Abraham, is operating in accounted righteousness. Blessed is the man whom God does not impute the sin against him. That he rose above his own dispensation. He knew his dispensation. He knew what he was doing. He prophesied more of the coming Messiah than anybody. He also knew the position he held as a spiritually dead man, but he would not be denied. Because I know there's one to come, and if Abraham could do it, then I can do it. I'm going to actually transcend the dispensation I've been confined to. And I'm going to operate like one that's going to come. And when I come into your presence, it's not going to reveal a nature of sin. No, I'm going to awaken your likeness. And you're going to make my nature operate like one that's to come, even though I don't have one like that yet. But one that's going to pay the price, and I get to operate in the account of righteousness. And when I come before your glory, there's no imputation of sin. He bypassed it! And when I'm in the presence of the Lord, if I'm struggling, I said, oh Lord, if he could do that, how could I possibly deny today? He walked against his own dispensation, walked out of spiritual death, and brought his spirit into your glory, awaking in your likeness, operating in the account of righteousness. I don't even have to do that. I've been born this way. I can walk right in. I'm thinking, my God, if he could do that, couldn't we walk into that place daily and take a bath in the glory of God? And I drink of that standing. I thank Him. We have such a bold access. Every day. The only problem is we don't know behind the curtain. So we don't get behind it. We don't know what we're missing. And if we don't know what we're missing, we just go out and take the wings of the morning. When the exchange is not made, too many times we have to fight battles with a far less anointing than what He wanted. He wanted you to go out there armored in heaven, administrating from that seat of dominion.
Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 24, page 8. Now we know a lot about communion and the bread, the body that was broken. And there in Isaiah 53, the chastisement of our lack of peace was upon Him, and by His stripes we were healed. You know, those things hit a lot closer to home, knowing that He stood in the seat of controversy. There in Deuteronomy 25, as you know, when a man had a matter against another, and there was a controversy, strife, but they would be brought before the judges, and they would judge the matter, and the guilty party would receive 39 stripes up to. And of course, we know He stood in that seat and received all 39 on our behalf. I wonder if we're partaking of that redemption. So one of the things the Lord showed us this week was one of the ways that the ruling strongman of this region is operating. I was picking it up, and the Spirit didn't really know what it was I was picking up, but I just felt a lot of walls around people. And there's certain things about these walls. You can access certain things about God, but certain things are just totally cut off. And I was just feeling it. And, you know, I talked to Bronk after the service, and as I was talking to him, I got a revelation. The Lord showed me that ruling regional strongman, he was creating dysfunctionalism in the home. And there was a lot of broken homes in this region. A lot of children, a lot of you grew up in certain homes. Your fathers grew up in it. Their fathers grew up in it. And that was being passed down. And what happens because of that dysfunctionalism, it's very hard to break that particular cycle. And the reason it's hard to break that cycle is because we're familiar. And what happens when we've gone through these particular seasons? I know I'm touching things, but listen, these things have got to be touched. When a human being, especially at a young age, is subjected to betrayal, pain, abuse, physical abuse, sexual abuse, distrust, disloyalty, unloved, rejected. All of that has a major, major effect upon the soul. And when that pain is experienced at a very early age, we will do something to protect it. And so walls are formed. And we create, it's called a self-protection mechanism. And it raises up and constructs and said, I cannot allow that to happen. It's almost an actual function. But when that self-continual and continual, we build them over and over and over. And not only does it sets up a design and a belief system. It's where things like rejection are born. Things like isolation are born. Things like pride that's born. You're not ever going to do that to me. I'll never give anybody that place. I have a wall. And you can't get behind it. And the problem that when we slide into the kingdom of God, we have certain behavior patterns and familiarity. And though we're born again, our spirit can access certain places with the Lord. There are certain places that we won't give Him, and we won't give anybody else either. So we learn to administrate the way we are. but what's coming in the form of revival requires that we be transparent. Because most of the intimacy with God is behind that wall. Because not only will it shut you out, you'll shut God out. Because that wall works both ways. I talked about it a little bit last night. But Jesus Himself stood in the seat of that controversy. And when He allowed His back and gave His back for the smiters, He was bruised, striped, shredded. All of that redemption is sitting at the communion table of the Lord. He said, you come to take communion, but you're divided. You don't have to have division one with another. You can have division in your own heart. And when you partake of that bread, you're partaking of His healing. And sometimes He'll call for a surrender right there. He said, you know, you're going to have to let me into this area. That's hard to do when we've built walls 3 miles thick around us. It's hard to get that place over. But that's exactly what He's feeding you, the kind of healing that's going to bring the transparency and the freedom and the liberty in your life. Every day, it's in the bread. And when you partake of it by faith, you can bring that redemption right there into your home. And say, it stops right here. You bore the seed of controversy, and it will not pass down to my children. I break it now and receive the wholeness for me and my family. There should be no more dysfunctionalism passed down. But that which is broken in me, I'll receive the bread of healing. When He mends me, there'll be no more passed down. If you don't allow Him into that area, my friend, your walls cannot protect you. You must know that. Only He can give you that place. You know what I'm talking about. People do very unusual things, but when it hits home is when it comes to family members. They say things, they do things, they can leave scars running deep within us for a long, long time. And it affects where we go with God. And Jesus said, as often as you do this, when you eat from this table, every day, understand there's healing in that atonement. I purchased that place of wholeness for you and your family. I purchased it to make you whole. He stood in the seat of your controversy. You can eat of that sufficiency every day. You can eat of that position. No, I don't need to. All you need it much more than you know. If you don't get it dealt with, it might come down to your children. It can affect everything. We've talked about the table. Psalm 68:19 says this, blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth me with benefits. I'm thinking, where is that God? I mean, you've been around long enough. Are you being daily loaded? No, not a daily trinkle. Loaded. When I hear load, I mean load. I'm thinking bags, loads. Weightiness. Where is that? Oh, how often we go, we don't find that. I found it. He will load you with the sufficiency of heaven. He will load you with a weight of heaven. And He will load you down in a good way. So some of the things I go through. I want you to go to Psalms 84 for a minute. Now remember, this is not a formula. It's just a position of communion that you can move into. Psalms 84, verse 1, it says, "How lovely are thy tabernacles, O Lord, thy dwelling places." We sang that psalm earlier. David knew this place. He said, "My soul longeth, yes, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. My heart in my flesh crieth out for the living God. A sparrow hath found her house and a swallow a nest where she may lay her young. Even thine altars, O Lord of hosts. Blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will still be praising thee. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, whose heart are your ways, who passing through the valley of Baca," that's weeping, "they make it a well." Listen, when you pass through the valley of weeping, especially that is produced by the Holy Spirit, there is a well that begins to form. "And they that goeth forth weeping, bearing precious seed, will doubtless come again, bringing into the harvest." There is a harvest of tears that take place in that place when the streams of God flow down your face as you eat from His sufficiency, and you're coming into that room. And as those tears are shed, that valley of weeping, God turns it into a wellspring of life. Look what He says. "And the rain also filleth the pools." It's that person that's positioned in his house will go from strength to strength. Every one of them appearing in Zion before God. God said, "I chose Zion as the place of my habitation, and there my rest shall remain forever." You appear in the place of God's habitation. Every day being positioned in that place. When you're in that, you eat of that strength. You drink of that sufficiency. You move from a state of strength to strength. One of the things the Lord's showing me right now, He says, "Son, every day now, daily," I want to talk to you about daily here for a minute, "you move from glory to glory, daily, from strength to strength. Daily, my light shineth more and more." Now, one of the things Bronk and I, Pastor Bronk and I, were talking about was that every one of us seem to find these particular seasons with the Lord where we make a tremendous progress in the Spirit. And our momentum begins to build. And in fact, the more you come into that place, it's easier to move in. You know what I'm talking about. I mean, when it starts to move, you move in easier and easier. And a momentum begins to build in the Spirit. And as you begin to build and you're fed from that place daily, as the momentum begins to build, one of the things that happens, I don't know how for the longest time, but you wake up one day and you just kind of lost it. And you think, "Where did that go? I found that position. Oh, it was awesome." But then you wake up one day and it's gone. You're back down to the mundane. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? I mean, you got caught up in a flow. But then it was lost. You say, "God, where did it go?" He said, "The time you recognize that you lost it, that's not at all when you lost it. That's just when you recognize everything had stopped. It was lost a long time before that." And I remember when He spoke to me about it, I saw an ocean liner going through the water. Just to crank the thing up took a lot. But as it began to build the momentum, it would glide across the water. But when those engines shut down, it did not. It continued to move. And here's what the Lord said. He said, it stops when you stop trading your sufficiency for mine. But what happens is you continue in the momentum, so you don't recognize it. And when you don't recognize it, you continually going on and say, hey, everything's good. Everything's just the way it was. But you stop reporting to that seat. You stop reporting to that room. Stop making the transition. Trading your sufficiency for His. But you're moving in yesterday's manna. And what did He say? Listen, you're only going to be able to eat that manna for so long. And you're going to wake up one day and everything stopped again. And you go, what happened? And you get cycled around this enough, as we are getting cycled, we're finding out. Here's what the Lord said. He said, it's all won and lost in a day. Everything. It's won or lost in the daily exchange of your sufficiency. And you want to win it and ride on the high places of God, you're going to have to win it every day. He brings it right down into a day. I'm finding out tomorrow my destiny hinges on what happens. If I do not come into that place of exchange where everything is surrendered, it's just going to prolong and set everything back. Because whatever whoops me tomorrow will stand there the next day too. And it'll be empowered twice as much, because if it beats me tomorrow, it's going to be empowered for the next day. We'll say, well, you know what? That's the difference between somebody that's going to access a place of 100-fold operation or stay where we're at. We're going to have to keep moving in. And we're going to have to win it daily. I'm sensing tonight I'm preaching to some heavy hearts in here. But make no mistake, this place is very real. We can come every day. Hallelujah. Let's put that just for a moment. That Terry McAlmon on, that song we were singing a minute ago. Now, the rest of those pages just describe kind of the secret place and everything. And, you know, remember, just use that as a kind of a map, you know. Hallelujah. Let's pull that up a minute. Let's lift our hands.